Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Charlie Baker kicks off his second term as governor with his inauguration ceremony and speech at the State House late this morning, followed by several celebrations across the state. In his address, Baker is expected to pledge to improve transportation and underperforming schools and reform public school funding. We spoke about that with two political analysts, Dorchester reporter, political journalist Jen Smith, and WBUR pollster Steve Cazella from the Mass Inc. polling group. Here's Gazella's take on what to expect.
He's used very colorful expressions about nonstop pedal to the metal, ready to rock, and then gone to some fairly pedestrian-sounding policies that mostly sound like more of things that he's already been doing. Dealing with the transportation system, he's said he's going to focus more on the opioid crisis and so forth. I think a lot of it also will be dictated by what the legislature wants to talk about. I think he'll be pulled into questions about education funding, whether or not more transportation funding specifically is necessary. You know, he's tended to focus more on sort of operations and how the whole system works. And then the big thing I think that we're looking at in the year ahead is the transportation climate initiative, this carbon tax, for lack of another simple term. That's something that came out just before the year end, and how that unfolds, I think, will also be very interesting to watch in the year ahead.
There's a lot of question about whether or not, if we're rolling out these kind of bigger, ambitious proposals as far as infrastructure, if we want to fix the T, where does the money come from? And so I believe it was New Year's Eve day that the folks that are going to be handling the fiscal year 2020 budget agreed that they've got to assume that revenue for the state is going to rise around 2.7%. They're not accounting, interestingly, for any potential windfall from the marijuana industry. They're basically saying, we don't even know how that's going to shake out, but we can't count it for revenue. So we're going to have a little bit of a tax drop, I believe, with a pretty minor increase in the revenue overall.
Do you think that we'll get a carbon tax in this legislative session?
Well, I wouldn't have thought that if Baker hadn't brought it up himself. It was the last debate during the gubernatorial election in 2018. It's an idea which has sort of bubbled and simmered along in Massachusetts for a while, but not really one, I think, which was at the top of the agenda. But between that and then the regional, you know, multi-state agreement that was announced at the end of 2018, you know, whether or not it's legislation now or whether it's the movement toward legislation in the next couple of years, I think is still somewhat ambiguous. But there's at least going to be a lot of discussion and a lot of momentum building towards it.
Let's talk about a couple of these issues, if I might, specifically public transportation. Last summer, Governor Baker said the T will spend $8 billion on its main system and on two expansion plans in the next 5 years. He called the investment massive. But is it really enough considering the T's massive problems?
The thing that really matters at the end of the day is, do riders experience a difference? The big things, which would really change the experience, haven't really been felt and seen by riders yet. We'll see some new cars here in 2019, but then the questions start to become, do things like new signals coming online, do things like, you know, the additional investments they're making, do they really increase reliability, on-time performance, frequency, the things that really impact the rider standing out there in the cold?
I have to say, when I look at the pictures of the shiny new cars, mm-hmm. all I can think of is that it's like a kid's Band-Aid, a bright, beautiful Band-Aid to make them think less about the hurt that's underneath.
Well, I mean, as someone who's woken up on a pretty regular basis at 6 a.m. by alert saying that the train is delayed, the last thing I'm thinking about in the morning is how nice the seat I'm in is. But the case to be made basically is whether or not the newer cars are going to, for instance, break down less, whether you're going to have less issues associated with the actual mechanics of them that make the system run more cleanly. But it's hard to parse out what's coming from signal issues, what's coming from the cars themselves, what's coming from the fact that we just have a really old system.
It seems like all of the reports that come out say that we need more revenue for the MBTA. And it seems like the legislature is pretty much agreed with the idea that we need more revenue, though not necessarily where it will come from. The Baker administration has so far resisted that concept and that sort of framing. They've also said even if we had it, we couldn't necessarily get it out the door, because it takes us a fair amount of expertise and a fair amount of staff to bid things, contract them, purchase them, put them in place, and that sort of thing. So how that tension plays out in the next year or two, I think, will answer the question of whether the pace that's been outlined by the administration is the one that we follow for the next few years.
Okay, Elizabeth Warren, this week she formed her 2020 Exploratory Committee, which essentially means that she's running for president, and she's going to be campaigning in Iowa this weekend. There are a lot of people who think that she really doesn't have a path forward in such a crowded field. She's so far to the left. What do you think?
Well, the path begins with winning the Democratic primary, and Iowa and New Hampshire both have very liberal Democratic primary electorates. So I think it's too early to say, and we should take some time out and listen to voters.
The other thing as well, Bob, is you mentioned, you know, she's pretty far to the left. Left is relative as well. We don't even know what the left wing of the party looks like by the time that campaign ramps up. We don't know if the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortezes move the prevailing policies further to the left. We don't know if the Bernie wing pops up again and drags it again further to the left. We're dealing with a very left wing, but a capitalist, as she keeps reminding us. So I think it'll be really interesting as this very, very large, likely Democratic field shakes out to see where Elizabeth Warren actually lands on that spectrum.
Thanks to both of you for coming in. Jen Smith, thanks.
Thanks for having us.
Steve Cazella, same to you.
Happy New Year.